CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
My name is Hilly Brown. I'm going to be doing introducing Spry. I'm the CTO over at About Web. I've been doing web development for quite a few years now. Trying to find the talk. I called into this a little bit late, so I didn't have a lot of time to do this presentation, so I'm hoping it turns out okay. Spry, conceptually, is very simple. It's just a framework for Ajax. How many of you were in the CF Ajax presentation? They said it's very, very easy to do. Well, I think that would make Spry very, very, very easy to do. It's not nearly as complicated as some of the things he was showing in the CF Ajax presentation. How many people know what Ajax is? Anybody not know what Ajax is? Okay, well, this slide's for you. Ajax, it's an acronym for Asynchronous JavaScript with XML. Basically, what we're talking about is the ability to load new data into our pages without posting the data, without getting a get or a refresh. Makes the browser behave more like a Windows application. It builds on top of the capabilities of the browser, so it doesn't need any additional plugins. You don't need Flash. You don't need any ActiveX components, Java, or anything like that. It's also not, I'm going to say it's not a product or anything. It's more of a concept. So you can't just go out on the web and download the Ajax product. There's different people that have made frameworks. There's different people that have libraries. There's all types of Ajax-related technologies out there. So Spry. There are other frameworks out there, but Adobe decided to create their own. They had the specific goals they were trying to meet. And their three main goals were really open access. They wanted something that was easy to use, and they wanted something that would enable innovation. Oops. I thought I had another slide in there. I guess not. Okay. For open access, Spry is free. You can go out on the web and download it from the Adobe Lab site. I don't know if anyone here goes there. They have a lot of other interesting things out on the lab site if you've never been there before. It's just labs.adobe.com. So it's free. It's released under a BSD license. You can use it free in your applications. Go out there and try it. Easy to use. They made it really easy to use. You'll see in the examples. But, I mean, they really met this goal, I'd have to say, in spades. It's just awesome. I mean, you don't have to really do any coding. There's a little bit of coding, but not very much. Pretty much you can just drop the framework in, include a couple libraries, and there you go. You have a Spry-enabled page using Ajax. And it was really created for designers and not so much for, I mean, most of the people here are probably programmers. You work with Cold Fusion. Spry was made to be used for designers to use so they could easily incorporate it into their pages. Although if you do know coding, you could greatly enhance the capabilities of Spry. But using Spry as your base. Enable innovation, that's kind of a warm, fuzzy kind of feeling. A little vague on that one, but basically they didn't want Spry to limit what you could do. You know, like you'll do things all in this format, whatever. They wanted you to be able to customize Spry and the things to do with Spry to match, you know, whatever you're working on. So what does Spry do for us? Well, the core functionality and the core functionality of Ajax is the ability to load and display data dynamically. Basically not reloading your page in any way. Spry also has the capability to filter data using XPath. They include some UI widgets, but they don't really have them documented yet. And Spry itself is still really in a pre-release state. It's not an alpha or beta or anything. It's just, here we made this, take a look at it, tell us what you think. There's visual effects in Spry, like animation, fading in and out. I expect I'll be adding more those type features in the future. Spry's really only been out for 2 months now. There was an initial release in May, had the basic functionality in there. They just did a release at the beginning of June, and they've already added new capabilities to the framework. There's a few limitations to Ajax you should know about before you, or Spry, before you jump in. Some of these are just related to Ajax in and of itself. Ajax, JavaScript's in the name. You have to have JavaScript for Ajax to work. If you turn JavaScript off, no Ajax. Performance is an issue. I saw a good demonstration at the Flex users group. We loaded up a data set with 20,000 rows. It takes Flex a few seconds to display the data. It took Ajax application over a minute just because JavaScript is really what's running the application and it's not real fast. Although you have applications like Google Maps which perform very well. And Ajax does perform well with smaller sets of data. You just don't want to use it for, you know, if you have to display 10,000 rows of data on your page, probably not a good idea. Accessibility is a big issue. You're updating pieces of your page dynamically. If you're using the screen reader, it really doesn't know how to deal with that. So if you're like on government sites, Ajax is going to be an issue. Adobe knows it's an issue. They're working on it. Hopefully some of the future releases there will be accessibility features built in. You also have to deal with browser limitations. As any type of JavaScript-related product, different browsers have implemented JavaScript differently. I have a list of browsers up here that Spry has been tested with. It's actually quite a few of them. You know, most popular browsers, Firefox, Netscape, Internet Explorer, Safari. Google uses the XPath library, which most people probably don't know about. Google's created a JavaScript library that does XPath. Spry really relies on this for a lot of its functionality. So if Google were to change that suddenly, Spry wouldn't work anymore. I'm sure they'd update it, but it is a potential limitation. We also only support XML data right now. There's been talk about supporting like JSON, which is a popular Ajax format, and supporting other types of data in the future. But like I said, we're in pre-release. Not a lot. You know, we do have some good capabilities, but it's not extensive yet. And it doesn't degrade well. If you turn JavaScript off, and it's true of most Ajax applications, if you disable JavaScript, the page is completely unusable. In the June release, the one they did earlier this month, they actually started to address that issue. And some of the functionality does degrade now, so if you were to disable JavaScript, you still have a usable page. Well, that was a lot of limitations, but it's not that bad, really. How Spry works. Spry is simple. Basically, all you have to do is include a couple JavaScript libraries to enable it. We have two libraries. We have xpath.javascript, which is the Google XPath library. And we need to include the Spry data library. And that's your core Spry functionality. You can download data dynamically, display it dynamically on your page, just using those two includes. There are a couple other libraries they include. There's no documentation for them, and they included it in one of their examples. I'm going to show a sample one in this presentation. There's a Spry Accordion, which is a UI widget. It allows you to do accordion segments on your page for menus or different things. And there's a Spry Effects that has animation, the ability to fade objects out, control transparency and stuff in it. Like I said, there's no documentation for those last two, so you're somewhat on your own when you're trying to use those. Okay. The first thing you need to do when you're working with Spry is load some data that you want to display. To do that, you create an XML data set. It takes two parameters, the URL of a data source, and an XPath statement that's used to select the data from the data source. Even if you're only selecting the top node of an XML file, you still need an XPath statement. And I have a sample XPath statement in here. Here, the XML spry.data is part of the library. Spry is the library that gets included. The XML data set. And here I'm loading up a data.cfm page. And I just specify an XPath for the data I'm retrieving. I have a people and then a person node under that. Yes? I'll post them like tomorrow or something. But I'll put it up on my blog. It's www.kellyjoe.com. K-E. It's www.kellyjoe.com. K-E-L-L-Y.J-O.com.
You need to stay a bit close to the microphone because it's going to be.
Okay. Sorry. I don't have a wireless mic. I'm going to show you an example of this in just a minute. But that's what loading the data looks like. So that loads our data into the XML data set, which is stored in a variable. You can see I create a variable there to store the data in. Once you have the data, you have to display it. The first part of displaying the data is to create a spry region. And this it's sort of like using a CF output tag in ColdFusion. It just says, this area is where my data is going to be displayed. It also creates like a listener, so that if the data set ever changes, the data that's displayed is automatically updated. I have a sample of it there. It's pretty simple. Use spry colon region. And you can place it within existing HTML tags. There's not any like specific spry tags. They just add attributes to existing HTML tags. In this case, I'm using a div, but you can use other tags. It could be a paragraph tag. I have an example. In my example, I have using a tr tag for a table because it loops over data to generate a dynamic table. So once I've defined the area where I'm going to put my data, I actually need to output my data itself. It uses a binding notation similar to flex with just the node name from my XML file. In a ColdFusion, this would be like if you're outputting a query, put pound signs around your column name from the table. In this case, I have a first name node in my XML file. And you can actually create a spry region that outputs data from more than one data set. If you have more than one data set, you specify the data set, colon, colon, and then the node name. I'm going to go ahead and show a sample of this. There were quite a few slides there, but this is what it looks like in the code. I include my two libraries. I have the XPath and the spry data. I load up my data set here. I have a file called data.cfm. I give it the XPath. Well, let me show you what that file looks like. I just have an XML file there.
Can you erase this up about what's going on?
Oh, yeah. So I just have a very simple XML file. I just have a people top node. Then I have a series of person nodes with a first name, last name, and picture in them. So when I run my file, here's what... Oops, let me scroll down here. So I load my data there on the top, and then I output it down here. You can see here, I have a spry region. I stored the data into my data. That's the data set name. And I'm just displaying the first name and the last name. It's pretty simple. That's the page. That's all it does right now. Just outputs a name, but it's doing it dynamically.
When you get the question, when you actually get the data,
yeah.
Does that have to be in the head section, or can that be done in the body as well?
It can be done in the body. I mean, it's to... Yeah, you can do it in the body. In this case, I'm doing it there. And actually, if you were to change the data while the page is already there, it would just update the data automatically. The data updates if the data source changes. Yeah?
Each part namespace, does that come from the JavaScript? Is it set there?
What,
the namespace that you use in 916?
Oh, this my data? Yeah.
Or the spry, or the namespace,
right? Oh, spry?
Is that created from the JavaScript that you imported?
Yeah. Well, there is a namespace you can... I didn't include it in here, which I probably should have. Actually, the original release did not have a name, an HTML like namespace for spry, and I did not include it on the top of my page, but there is a namespace that you include. Yeah. I mean, it works without it, but there is, you can include it at the top of your page. Okay, so that's the simplest spry you can pretty much do. Loading a simple data set and displaying a couple values. Oops. That's the wrong PowerPoint. Yeah.
When you say it updates with dev source, is that by folding?
Yes, when it calls the data source, it actually is going out, running that page, that data page I showed you, retrieves the data back, and then uses JavaScript to update the content of the page. It happens so fast, though, that you don't see it.
So could you go in right now and change the data and not refresh the page, and instead of showing, because it was
RAID,
show
it? No. It actually caches the data. Now, you can force it to do a refresh. And actually, one of the new features they just released is a polling interval. So it will refresh the data every so often. Now, the page doesn't update. Spry is running in the background asynchronously, and if the data changed, it would pull it back. But in this example, it's not. If you change the data, nothing would happen. I'd have to refresh the page. So that was the simple out, but there's also a looping construct. It's similar to doing a cold fusion loop, really. You have a spry repeat attribute, and you just tell it your data source name and then put your variable in it, and it will loop over that tag that you put the attribute in, you know, for every entry in your XML. So let me back up here. I'll show you the code first. So this is the same as my just simple display page, except I have a loop down here. I put it inside of a table. So I still have to specify my spry region so it knows where the dynamic data is going to be. But then down in my TR tag down here for the table, you can see I'm using a spry repeat attribute and then just specifying my data set again. And it will loop, it will run that TR tag for every entry in my XML. I'll show you an example of that. So that's what it looks like. I mean, you can't really see it operating here because it's going so fast. Actually, you know that I mentioned it doesn't work well with JavaScript turned off. Oops. I don't remember what the JavaScript setting is. Security. No. want a JavaScript auth button, but there's not one.
Should be an advanced browser.
Maybe I should have custom that scroll
most
of the way down.
No. But I think Kai will disable it. So I should have tried that. Yeah, there it goes.
Why didn't it run when you put it on high?
It doesn't run JavaScript. You set the security level to high.
Can you set something else to let the user know that you have to turn JavaScript on to function
like
that?
You need JavaScript to tell people they needed to have JavaScript turned on. So, I mean, well, no, you can use like a, there's a note, you know. You can use a no script tag and tell people they need to have JavaScript turned on. You can detect it with Cold Fusion. But you have to do a refresh. Yeah. If you have JavaScript, that's what I said, if you have JavaScript disabled, Spry is not going to work. Any type of AJAX framework will not work. Because AJAX relies on JavaScript. So let me turn it back down here. Okay. So another thing we like to do with AJAX and with Spry, makes it easy for us, is select a list and then show more detail about the object we selected. Pretty common thing to do on the web. Spry has a feature built in specifically for this called the detail region. And when you specify a detail region, you really set up a listener and it listens for a change in the current row in the data set. There's a concept built into the Spry data set of like which row it's currently on, sort of like a when you're looping over a query, it knows what row it's on. So a similar thing is built into Spry. And there's a set current row method where you can change the current row that you're on in the data set. And we have one other concept we need, which is the row ID. When there's a Spry list, each row, it keeps an internal number for each row. And it's stored in a DS_row ID variable. Well, that sounds kind of complicated, but it's actually pretty easy when you put it together. So I have the same page I was using before where I load up my data. But this time I'm going to add a detail section to it. So I print out my list of names like I had before. Down here at the bottom, I added a detail region. And I'm calling it profile, and it displays the graphic of the person along with their first and last name. And you can see in the previous example of the table, I just displayed the picture as text. But here I actually included the pic variable inside an image source. So it will dynamically load an image. And then up here in my table, I added an onClick event so that when you click on the row, it uses that setCurrentRow method for the data set and sets it to the current row number that I'm in, that internal row number that Spry keeps track of.
So it's actually caching all the pictures before you put your cursor on the table?
It is not caching the pictures, actually. When I click on something, it will actually load the picture off the server. If I'm doing it locally, so it's very fast and you can't tell, but if you're doing it over the web, you might want to pre-cache your pictures that you're going to display, because there will be a delay as it loads up the image.
Could you use Cold Fusion tags inside your own click, so you have something like for my data, set current row, and then pound sign ID?
No, I mean, one of those confusing things. I mean, ColdFusion's running on the server side. Spry is all on the client side. Now, you can use ColdFusion and Spry like if I knew what my row IDs were, just numbers them sequentially. I've seen examples where you can loop over something and tell it to set the row to a certain number using ColdFusion, where you've hard-coded each like thing you're going to click on, but then the rest of it is dynamically generated by Spry. So you can use ColdFusion in conjunction with Spry, but in that case it doesn't work because Spry is running client-side.
So is your repeat only doing HTML text, or is it everything between the page or the TR?
Yeah, no, it repeats everything in the TR tag.
Okay.
So I could be repeating a div tag as well. Whichever tag you put the repeat in is the tag that gets repeated, all the way up to where the tag closes. So if you have like a broken HTML, Spry doesn't work with that. I mean, your tags need to be closed, or Spry can't find where it's supposed to end and such.
That's
well-formed. Yeah, well, it needs to be well-formed, yes. Now, if it's outside the Spry region, it doesn't care so much. But if you break it or don't end a tag inside of the Spry itself, it doesn't like that. So this is my detail page. No, I didn't click on a number yet. That's because when the data is loaded, the current row is always one. It always starts with the first item in the data set. So since Ray happens to be the first person, my first row is displaying him by default. Well, right now, nothing. I say it's a click event. Yeah, there's not a hover, I just have an on click. So when I click on a row in my table, it sets that row number, and then my Spry region at the bottom automatically updates. Yeah. You can see the picture's actually loading, it's just loading very fast. And you can see the name appears down here at the bottom. And look back at the code again real quick.
Question. So doesn't the browser have to
reevaluate that
HTML?
Yeah. I mean, Spry is rewriting the page. When I click on that, Spry detects the event and then changes the HTML within this div tag. And allows the browser to re-render it. Yes.
But it's only updating that one second.
Yeah, it's only updating this one section here inside of this div tag.
But the browser is rendering the entire thing.
You're actually manipulating the DOM.
Yeah, you're manipulating the DOM. So if you were in the AJAX presentation, you saw at the beginning where he was talking about manipulating, like finding an element on the page, changing the inner HTML. Well, Spry is handling all that for you.
Is there any way to control it so it doesn't automatically bring up that first row?
You can set the row. Actually, I don't know if you can. There's been some. There's.
I did this whole thing and put it in there. Like my data does on the given. Just take this and put it in the on the given. Then it only have to.
You first load it with
ibis
and then
you
click it.
Oh.
Yeah, just use the JavaScript thing.
I don't know if you can mix some of that. I haven't tried to do it. There have actually been some requests on the boards, the ability to have the row start off as with nothing selected. But
what size of the pallet you start shifting?
What size? What size panel? Oh. Well, like I said, I saw an example with 20,000 rows of data. And that took about a minute, but it's not loading the data that's taking so long. It's that the JavaScript takes a long time to render, you know, it's rewriting that HTML itself on the page, and the JavaScript's kind of slow. Any other questions?
So this is not Code Fusion specific.
No, this is not Code Fusion specific. You can do it in a static HTML page. Now your data, you would probably want to be dynamic. Any? You could have, you can load up other JavaScript files with additional functionality in it, but the spry region and everything has to be defined inside of the file. You couldn't dynamically like add a spry region, I guess. If you try to define something as spry after it's already been loaded. No, I lost my page. Yeah. Okay. Sorting, there's a sort method built into Spry. It's a method you just call on the data set, and you just specify the field name that you want to sort by. I'm using basically the same top page for all of this, just loading the data set up. So in this case, I've added an on-click event to each header that I have in my table, so that when you click on it, it calls the sort method in my data set and just specifies the data field that's displayed in that column. So I have my first name column and my last name column sortable.
This is really slow. I've tried sorting in JavaScript before. It's so slow. It's quicker for me.
It's pretty quick. But if you get a lot, I only have 4 records. So if you have a lot of data, yeah, it's probably going to be slow. But like 100 records or so, I mean, it should be pretty quick. The data's cached and it sorts pretty fast.
So it's a spam just click on a header?
Yeah. Well, someone was trying to ask a question. What? Oh, no, I was getting to it. This one doesn't do anything. I didn't add an on-click event to it. But these two.
So it's go into your XML and like duplicate the table 20 times so that it's like 60 rows of data instead of 4.
Yeah.
Let's do a copy and paste. See if that slows it down.
Sure.
Let's go for like 1,000 records. We can help you 50 times. We've already done some tests of this where we're returning about 1,000 records with less than 10. Depending on the server load. So the XML, you know, unless you're doing a huge amount, that's a business to be a big thing.
Well, I added about 200 there or so. Well, there's a lot of Ben Fordas, but.
Yeah. Can't help yourself.
So it's pretty fast. Well. I hope that was my last example of that data set. Okay. So defaultly it sorts alphabetically. If you need to sort numeric data, you actually have to specify that before you do the sort. There's a set column type for numeric data, like say I had an age in there or a price or some other type of numeric data. You actually set the column type for that particular field. I have an example here. Set column type, say my field was called age, and I would just say column type age is numeric. That way it can sort the data numerically. Otherwise, it just does a alphabetical sort. There's not a date that I know of. I didn't actually think of that one. The date.
People don't error, but it won't actually work.
Yeah.
But most dates already kind of work numerically.
Yeah.
If you use numeric, they'll work for now. But it's going to be in the next group.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we're still dealing with pre-release here, so they're adding a lot of functionality. Okay, getting off the data a little bit, I'm going to show you the accordion control. What? So the Spry accordion lets you do one of those menus that they're hard to describe. You click on one and it opens up. If you click on another one, it closes that one. They expand. I'll show the example in a second. It's defined using the div tags, and it has different classes that goes with it. There's a main accordion class. There's an accordion panel, an accordion label, and accordion content. And you use these classes to lay out your accordion. And then you actually enable it using a JavaScript command in the page, with just a call to spry.widget. This isn't documented in the Spry documentation that they include. They do use it in one of their sample applications, which is where I got it from. So I don't think they're quite done with it yet. Like, you have to actually call a command to enable it. It doesn't work by default and stuff. So I expect it'll probably work better, you know, when they're really ready to, you know, put it out there. So I'll show a quick example of what this looks like. I don't think I really do it justice. It requires a style sheet to really look good, and I'm not a design person. So this is my accordion menu. It looks neat. If you were better with graphics, you could probably do a lot better job making it look pretty.
Is there a time limit, or is it actually that really slow, or can you speed it up? Do you have to set a time delay or something?
It has a built-in time delay. I'm not sure if you can override it. Like I said, there's no documentation. So I don't actually, aside from looking at the sample, I haven't actually looked at the accordion component. There, you may be able to adjust the timer on that to make it open and close faster. I'll show you a quick example of what that looks like in code. I had to include two additional libraries. There's a Spry Effects and a Spry Accordion. The Spry Effects has effects like movement, and the accordion menus moving. And the Spry Accordion is like the actual accordion UI component. I loaded data in here, but I didn't need to.
You need the Spry Effects to run the accordion?
Yeah, I believe you do. It's using the movement. It is included in the download from the labs, but it wasn't in the main Spry includes library they have. It was in one of their demo applications, so I assume it's something they're working on, but maybe they're not quite ready to release it yet. I'm showing it anyway, because it was in there. And I thought it looked neat. I loaded my data here, even though I didn't need to. There is no Spry area here, like for the other data sets. I mean, they're not really using a data set for this. I just basically created three panels. You can see I have the main accordion class, an accordion panel, then I have my accordion panel label and my accordion panel content.
Can you just wrap those around hyperlinks?
Yeah, you can put links. You can actually put dynamic Spry content inside of the panels. and it will update. I'll show a couple of the examples that came with Spry, and they actually do that. And down here at the bottom, you can see the script that actually activates the accordion. It seems a little clunky to me right now, but like I said, I think they're still working on it.
Does that have to be on the bottom at the end of the page? Or?
Yeah, I think you have to define all your accordion before you call that. Otherwise, I mean, you're passing it the ID of the top element, and that wouldn't exist if you called it before you had the element defined. PowerPoint. So I'm going to show a couple Spry examples.
You said this recording has to be hooked up to CSS. Is it some external style sheet you set up?
Yeah, and actually, my other... I didn't load it up, but... At the top of my page here, you can see I included an accordion CSS style sheet. And I just defined what the panel and title and stuff are supposed to look like. Right? If you don't do that, it looks like normal text. You can't really tell it's an
accordion.
Well, it's using a class, so you just define the style for the class. Oh. Actually, no. That's why, like I said, it looks like they're still working on this. You actually have to call the class accordion because the JavaScript that controls the accordion menu actually looks for an element where the class is accordion.
So right now that means your second accordion panel has to look just like your first accordion.
You could put an ID in there and define the style that way.
Can you put additional classes on?
Additional classes?
Yeah. You can separate classes by spaces.
I haven't tried that. I mean, I imagine it would... It might work. I'd use an ID to define the styles instead of trying to use the class. Because the JavaScript is looking for accordion as the class name. I mean, I expect, like I said, I expect some better documentation for this eventually. It's just not out yet.
Did they have a card released
yet? Well, no, because it's pre-release. Like I said, it's not an alpha, not a beta. It's just pre-release. Yeah, it runs as is. They may change it. They have no guarantee that anything you write will work in the future. And actually, you know, they released it in May. The stuff I wrote in May didn't work after the June release because they changed the format of the, like, Spry region stuff. It didn't use, they added, like, Spry colon region. It used to just be Spry region was the name of the attribute. So it's really a work in progress. The Adobe samples are like much better than mine, but they're also more complicated. And I just wanted to have some very simple examples to show in here. If you haven't been to the labs page, you can download all these samples with Spry. This one's pretty neat. Uses a fade in and out. This actually took more JavaScript than the simple examples I have. So the Spry isn't going to do all of this for you automatically. They actually have a little separate JavaScript library they included for the photo gallery. And they have a slideshow capability. You can hit play and it will just start cycling through the images. It's a very... very neat Ajax example. This is the example where they're using the accordion menu. When you click on an item over here, it changes over here, and they have a... This is using the accordion component, and it does update part of the accordion dynamically. So here you can choose the number of articles from the feeds. It's just all test data in there right now. Let's see if I can get online. I plugged into the internet, but I'm not sure. Oh, anybody know what the code is? 4837? So this is a little bit of spry we put up on our page. You saw some of the examples I did. It's very easy to work with. This little example here, or not example, it's really live on our site. You can type in something you're looking for. Well, actually, let me do this. I can switch to location. I can put Virginia in there. It automatically shows you all the jobs in Virginia. I can do Maryland. If I do by title, it's like a quality assurance job. Huh? But this took, I didn't write this actually. I had another person write it, but he had not worked with Spry before. He downloaded the framework. It took him about 30 minutes to create this page. So it is very easy to work with. Like load what?
Specify number of records at one time.
No, you can't specify a certain number of records. It'll load all of them. No, it's. It has an on-change event that updates. This is using non-destructive filtering, so it's actually updating the Spry filter, and it's using on-change event on the text field. Yeah.
How are you translating the cold fusion into the XML?
It's just running a query and building an XML file.
So you're doing that directly after you return the packet, you get the query, you build that XML right there.
No, it's loading the data from a separate file. I mean, this file here, it has Spry in it. The XML data comes out of another file.
But how are you creating an XML file?
Oh. Yeah, it loads a query and just encodes it using, CFXML.
You don't put any libraries that already do that? There
are. I've seen, I don't remember, somebody wrote one. Ray probably knows. XML encoded format.
Yeah, maybe. I'll forget that. That will make it safe.
So you could do that dynamically, where the page that loads calls the CF page, which calls the query, which turns into XML, and then Spry loads it?
Yeah. And actually, I have data sets that I didn't show an example in here where it changes a URL variable, so the data that's actually returned to Spry is filtered. If you don't depends on what you're doing. You may not, if you're like switching a category, I'm using it for categories. I pass a category ID on the URL and then Spry loads it to another window. Yeah.
You said that there was something now with Spry that you did. You said an increments
table. There's a, on your data set, you can specify like a polling interval. So it will reload the data set, you know, every so often in case it's changed. Let me just flip through my last slide because it looks like there's a lot of questions. Just a couple comments on the future of Spry. Spry was actually developed, or most of the developers are on the Dreamweaver team, so I'm expecting Spry to be integrated in Dreamweaver at some point, assuming they keep going. I'm expecting more. We have the Spry accordion. Even that's not really documented yet. So I'm expecting them to release more UI components, more functionality. And it's really going to be driven by the community. If you go out to the labs page, like I said, labs.adobe.com, under Spry, they even say, look, we created this. Do you think it's useful? Where would you like to see this going? They're really looking for feedback from the community. And actually, the June release included a lot of things that the community had said they'd like to see in it, like the non-destructive filtering was one of the big things. That's me. Fill out your evaluation, and then I'll go ahead and if anybody has any more questions, feel free to ask, or you can leave. Or, okay.
I'm going to get into Flex.
I would say this competes with Flex to a certain extent. I mean, it's another client-side interface technology. So, now, we'll see you.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.